Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
.45 The Zone. It is 8:18. This is the Wake Up Zone. We're powered by the Tennessee Lottery. They're proud to have raised more than $5 billion for education. This guy educates us on the Tennessee Vols every week when we have him on the show, one of our favorite spots. Brent Hubbs from BallQuest.com. Brent, what's going on, man?
Not much. How are you guys this morning?
We're good. When SEC Media Days are only a few days away, it feels like the season's almost here, doesn't it?
It does. Of course, the SEC is working towards making this a July the 4th event, it feels like, or a June event. You know, we used to go down there the last week of June, July, but, you know, we bumped it up a little earlier every year. But it does give that sense of, hey, you know, football is approaching quickly, and this team's in the every team's in the final 4 weeks or so, and strength coach has three jobs. He's got to try to get them a little bit stronger. He's got to try to get them into unbelievable cardiovascular shape, and then he better not get anybody hurt. Because if a head coach finds out that one of his kids has got a pulled hamstring or something from some kind of conditioning run, he's going to lose his mind. So big month for strength coaches around the country and a big month for Tennessee in terms of finalizing their summer workout and getting that complete and getting back to the coaching staff and getting ready to go.
When they get to Birmingham next week, Coach Pruitt and the players, what do you feel like, you know, some of the questions or narratives are going to be around this team?
Well, I think a lot of it's still going to be around Jeremy Pruitt. I still think he's probably the biggest storyline with Tennessee because it's going to be about changing his staff, you know, Jim Chaney, Derek Ansley, and kind of what he learned in year one that will help him in year two, how he is adjusting as a head coach in year two compared to year one. So I still think for most of the regional writers and the national writers, it's going to be focused on Jeremy Pruitt. The secondary story, I think, is going to be Jerry Garantano. I would imagine Tennessee's going to take him. I don't see how you don't take your quarterback and the guy you're kind of pointing towards being the, I don't want to say the face of the program, but certainly the leader of your team on both sides of the ball. And so a lot for Jared will be about Jim Chaney. It'll be about kind of what last year was like and how this year is different, that type of thing. And so I think those will be the storylines for Tennessee. Of course, they're going on a day where Kirby Smart's going and some other guys are going. So, you know, I don't know that Tennessee will be the catch me out in terms of what everybody's looking for, who everybody's looking to talk to. But I do think those are some of the storylines with Tennessee.
How much does Chaney, you know, having been around the league and having the book on the other teams, you know, just you know, knowing a lot of what he's going to be facing, how do you feel like that's going to serve this offense well?
Well, I think it's going to serve Jeremy Pruitt well, first of all, because I think it's going to give Jeremy Pruitt a lot of confidence to the point that Jeremy Pruitt will probably not be as focused on the offensive side and will be more of a head coach and less of, at times, an offensive coordinator last year. I think the one thing that it does, too, because Jim knows this league, he knows what to expect in this league, it will allow this offense to create an identity. I think when you go back and look at last year, they were all over the map what they were going to be. 1 week it was throw a bunch of nine routes up in the air and let guys go make jump balls and try to make catches on them that way. The next week they're throwing it to Ty Chandler 8 or 9 times out of the backfield. You know, at times in the game, you know, a team would, you know, West Virginia played bail coverage and gave Tennessee the 8 or 9 yard hitch every time, and Tennessee took it about 4 times in the first half and never went back to it. And so I think they never really got a grasp of who they were, what their strengths were a year ago. Jim will have an identity for this offense. There's no question about that. He will lean on that identity, and he'll be able to create that identity because he truly knows what he's facing week in, week out in this league because of his experience in the conference.
Our guest is Brent Hubbs. His website is volquest.com. You want info on Tennessee, that's the place to go.
Yes, Brent, you were talking about the OC there, Chaney. How does he find that, I guess, equal balance in his offense to the run-pass ratio? Because that's really seems like what he's mastered, and that's what Pruitt wants. There's going to be times you're going to run the football more, but there are also going to be times where you throw it around. How does Coach Shaney, you know, has he figured out, I guess, the balance in both of those two?
Well, I think part of that's the head coach. You know, he's coached with, you look at who he's been with recently as head coaches. I mean, Kirby Smart is the guy who wants to play defense. He's comfortable in a low-scoring game, a little more ball control. He's not interested in throwing it around 50 or 60 times. Brett Bielema was the same way at Arkansas. Jeremy Pruitt's going to be the same way. I mean, Shaney loves to throw the football, and he has to be reminded at times to run the football. And he's working with head coaches that remind him to run the football. Now, when he was at Purdue with Joe Tiller, you know, they were turning the Big Ten up on its head because they were spreading everybody out, throwing it 45 times a game. But I think what Jim has learned in this league is you can't put your defense in a bad spot by going quick three and outs all the time. You've got to be able to run the football and be physical and be effective. And I think that's something that the league has taught him. And quite frankly, I think that's something he learned in the NFL when he was with the Rams. If you go back and look at the time he was with the St. Louis Rams, and they had the big kid Jackson at tailback, and they weren't a great, they were not at that point in time the greatest show on turf, where they were throwing it everywhere with Kurt Warner. They were in transition, and they ran the ball a lot more. And I think he got accustomed to playing a little more ball control, a little more NFL style there. And I think that translates well into this conference. And I think that's why his adjustment to this conference has been really from day one an easy adjustment. He's been effective from the moment he got to Tennessee when he was with Lane Kiffin all the way through last year when he was with Kirby Smart.
Well, I always have to ask about recruiting. How's that going?
I think it's going, you know, solid right now. Tennessee, you know, everybody's in a dead period. You got a couple more weeks before guys can get on campus. I think probably the last weekend of the month is going to be an interesting weekend for schools around the conference. They want everybody back on campus one more time if they can get them there. Tennessee's trying to get a bunch of the in-state kids to come in that weekend and just kind of hang out and kind of have a day, not a camp, but just have a day to hang out on an unofficial visit, kind of a, I don't know, a senior-to-be day, not a junior day, but a senior-to-be day, if you will. And, you know, that's always a challenge because a lot of high school coaches don't want their kids making those kind of trips because they've got so much going on with their high school team. So I think that's one of those situations where, you know, you'll get some kids on campus, probably not as many as you'd hope because a lot of those kids have traveled around all summer. Their high school coaches have said, hey, well, I've cut you some slack on this, that, and the other. I need you in town focusing on this football team in your senior year. So there'll be a few guys come in then, and I think it's going to be interesting to see what in-state guys Tennessee can get in as they continue to try to get guys like Amari Thomas, Ripka, Reggie Grimes there in Nashville, Chris Moore, some guys like that they would really like to have on campus one more time before those guys get into their senior seasons in August.
What about, too, Brent, the Pro Football Focus stat line on Ty Chandler, that nobody was better last year catching the football coming out of the backfield?
Well, but he didn't catch it enough. And I think that goes back to the identity thing that I was talking about. You know, you look at one week, they throw it to him six or seven times, and then the next week he didn't get a touch out of the backfield. And I know he's hurt a little bit, but it wasn't like he missed half the season. I think the bulk of his catches came in like four games or something like that a year ago. I think Jim Chaney will have a little more balance, a little more consistency with him. I think he is a weapon. I think they'll use him as a weapon in a lot of different ways. Jim has never been afraid to throw it to the running back. He likes those matchups with the linebackers. And, you know, when you look at this team, you know, I like Juwan Jennings, but the knee's not 100%. It's never going to be 100%. Callaway's a good jump ball guy, but I don't know that he's going to take the top off the defense. I don't know if they got a bunch of guys at the receiver spot you're going to be able to throw it to, and they're going to make somebody miss and take it to the house. So you're trying to find playmakers. I think Ty Chandler's the guy who can do that if you get him matched up against the right person. I think Dominic Wood Anderson has a chance to be a matchup problem, and I think that's why those are a lot of two guys. Those two guys are two of the main guys. A lot of people think Jim Chaney's going to try to build part of this offense around in the passing game, using them as a weapon because they create matchup problems.
Another, you know, and again, they look at the stats, but still ESPN.com tabbing Garantano as a possible breakout player, one of five that they picked out in the nation.
Well, and I think when you look at it, I mean, he's bringing his receiver core back. He's bringing back offensive linemen. He's played a lot in this conference. You know, they factor in experience as a big part of it. And you're playing for a coordinator who's, you know, quite frankly, got a resume of being able to develop guys and being able to fix guys and repair guys. And I'm not saying Jared's broken, but Jared's never had any consistency. He's going to have a lot more freedom in this offense to make decisions and do things and fix protections and stuff he couldn't do a year ago. And you're bringing a lot, you know, on paper, you're bringing a lot of people back on offense, which lends you to believe that this is going to be an improved, you know, should be an improved offense. And I think Jared's going to be better. I think the experience is going to show. I think Jim Chaney's going to be a big factor. I think Jared's had his best offseason. And, you know, we've seen Jim be able to fix quarterbacks and help quarterbacks and really jumpstart them and move them to a new level, whether they're a true freshman, whether they are a guy who's been through three or four different offensive coordinators. I mean, Jonathan Crompton credits Lane Kiffin for a lot of his success that senior year. He also credits Jim Chaney with a ton of that success as well, because they used Jonathan's strengths and they played to his strengths and they listened to what Jonathan wanted and what played into Jonathan's hands. And as a result of that, they were effective. And I think Jim continues to do that with his quarterback to put them in the best position to be successful. And I think that's why Jared's going to have his best year.
Brent Hubbs is our guest. VolQuest.com is his website. More with Brent coming up in a moment. 8:28 the time here on the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Welcome back to the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone, 8:35 the time. We are powered by the Tennessee Lottery, which is proud to have raised more than $5 billion for education. My friend Brent Hubbs is with us. Our Wednesday morning visit with Brent from VolQuest.com. You want info in Tennessee, go straight to VolQuest.com. They have every bit of it covered.
Brent, are you surprised that we haven't heard a verdict yet on the transfers? And, you know, how important is it to get a favorable ruling, especially on Aubrey Solomon, the D lineman?
Well, yeah, I'm surprised. And I think at this point, because it's gone so long, if you're Tracy Rocker and Derek Ansley and Jeremy Pruitt, you have to prepare as if you're not going to have Aubrey Solomon. Now, that's not to say they won't win, that he won't win the appeal, but how can you prepare, you know, to have him right now if you've been waiting 6 months on an answer and you haven't got an answer yet? I think it's important. You know, it's a big body who can help in there. He flashed some in the spring. He was not all Big Ten or anything like that, but when you look at his talent, the upside to him, there's a lot there, and Tennessee needs all hands on deck on the defensive line. So I think that's imperative that Tennessee wins that one. You know, when Tennessee remains confident, it's just it's the NCAA, and you just never know, you know, what mood they're in the day that committee meets and when that committee is going to take a look at it. And, you know, I mean, what's the point in whole? I mean, they've had everything from Aubrey Solomon for months. So what's the point in waiting to delay an announcement? Well, I mean, what? Make a ruling. Everybody else, not everybody, but a lot of other people have gotten rulings. It's not like Tennessee just appealed for this thing in the last 6 or 8 weeks. This thing's been out there in their hands for a long time. So shame on the NCAA for not going ahead and making a ruling so that everybody can prepare for what's going on this season. Of course, the other big news is the basketball transfer that, you know, they need Plavich to win his appeal as well. So the NCAA is going to have a big say in both football and basketball this year in terms of what they look like on the field and on the court.
How neat a story was Carol Lawson, you know, getting a spot on the Celtics staff?
Well, I mean, I think it you know, Carol Lawson wants to coach, and I think she had real interest in the Lady Ball job. You know, a lot of people felt like that when Philip Fulmer talked to her down in Tampa, that she was kind of advising Philip Fulmer on some things. And that was not really the case. She presented a plan for the program that was much more than, hey, if I were the AD, here's who I'd look at hiring. This was very much a plan on what that program needed, how she would go about fixing things. I think it's, you know, she's a smart basketball mind. She's in a great spot with Brad Stevens, who I think is a terrific basketball coach. She's been around NBA players in her time with the Wizards. I think she'll relate with the guys very well, and I think she'll generate a ton of respect, not only in the coach's locker room, but just with the locker room in general. So I think it's cool to see, and I think she will be successful under that staff and will continue to learn and grow as a coach. And I think at some point she's going to be a head coach. I don't know what level. I don't know what gender, but I do think she will be a head basketball coach because I think that's eventually – kind of where she's going to go with her career and wants to go with her career.
Our guest is Brent Hubbs from BallQuest.com. I enjoyed reading the article about Lamonte Turner and how his relationship with Rick Barnes has evolved over the years. It always kind of fascinates me to watch players come in, you know, when they're freshmen and they get yelled at a lot, but kind of, you know, stay the course and weather all that and then become veteran players who the coach, you know, really depends on them to be leaders on the team.
Well, it's a great story because it's one where both guys were willing to learn each other. And Lamonte had to learn Coach Barnes, and Coach Barnes had to learn Lamonte. And there was a lot of give from Lamonte and a little bit of give from Rick Barnes on that. But, it's interesting. Lamonte points out and has told me and told Rob in the story and has mentioned it multiple times. His first day of practice at Tennessee, he didn't finish. Because he got sent to the showers because his body language was bad and his attitude wasn't what Rick Barnes wanted. And, you know, Rick Barnes made it clear he was in charge from day one, and it rattled Lamonte. And it really did. It affected him because he thought, you know, what have I got myself into? This isn't what I signed up for. But they've continued to grow and evolve as a player and a coach. And now he's, you know, the veteran and the leader of this program right now. And I think it's amazing to see the guy who bought into the defensive end of the floor at the end of last year was Tennessee's best defensive stopper. And quite frankly, was the guy that Tennessee was running the offense through. No offense to Jordan Bone, but I think down the stretch of the tournament, you go back and look at what they were doing. They were running a lot of stuff through Lamonte because of the way he played down the stretch and the fact that he wanted that moment. I think that's what Rick Barnes likes about him most. He's fearless. And he wants the big moment. He wants the stage. He's not afraid to take the shot. He's not afraid to create an opportunity. He wants the ball in his hands in crunch time.
Mm. Well, speaking of Bone, Brent, what did you think about what Admiral Bone and, I guess, Williams, as well as Alexander, are doing in the NBA Summer League?
Not surprised. I mean, you know, it's one of those deals where those guys know how to compete, know how to play. They've been developed. I think Grant's done a really good job. Admiral's done some good things. You know, Kyle's probably the biggest surprise right now because he's been consistent in rebounding the basketball. He stayed out of foul trouble in the summer league. Now, I don't know how hard that's, you know, officiated compared to an NCAA tournament game. But, you know, because he's been able to stay on the floor, he's been an effective rebounder, good defender, doing what he needs to do. And he's helped his cause, and his opportunity is better now than it was when he started summer league play. And, you know, Kyle has a ton of ability. It's untapped. He's not always believed in his ability, and I think that he has to get over that. And once he gains some confidence in his ability, you know, he can earn a spot on a roster because he can guard the rim. He can defend the rim, and that's something you have to do in the NBA. And it's been fun to watch those guys. I watched Grant play a little bit last night, and, you know, you can just watch him play, and he understands the game so well and is so prepared schematically with things. It's fun to watch, and I think those guys will continue to have a good summer. And then we'll see what happens to him in training camp.
Well, Brent Hubbs, unlike Lamonte Turner, made it all the way through the segment without getting thrown out. So we appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
All right, guys. Thanks. I appreciate it. Y'all have a good rest of the week.
Okay, you too. We'll see you later. Check out BallQuest.com, everything you need to know about Tennessee sports. Brent Hubbs, our guest, every Wednesday morning. Appointment listening right here on 104.5 The Zone.